This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning and welcome to it, The Gardening Show, brought to you by Worth W. Smith. I'm Igor, with me as always, Mr. Master Gardener Bob Harris. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Igor.
So, what's going on today?
The first thing I want to talk about, and this may be affecting a lot of people, that some plants, in particular, a lilac, may look like it's dying because it's dropping all its leaves. And this was brought to my attention, and they wanted me to chop the lilac down because it's dead. And I had to explain to it, no, it's not dead. This is an unusual summer where it's been hot and dry. And some plants, you know, can't support their leaves anymore. Some of those plants like the lilac and crab apples, and the list goes on and on, where they're dropping lots and lots of leaves, just like they would in the fall. It's just the plant trying to protect itself from not being able to get enough water. So it'll drop those leaves because it can't support them all. It's not dying. It's not dead. It's happened a thousand times in its life. Because we do once in a while have a summer like this. And so just be patient. Now, if you want, you can go out there and water them. That always helps, or a nice thick layer of mulch to conserve that water that's in the soil. And that'll make them a little bit healthier. But it'll also going to affect them in the long run. Because they're dropping a lot of leaves, it's probably going to affect their energy level for next year. So they may not have enough energy to bloom like they have in the past.
This is specifically lilacs.
No, it's going to include a lot of those leafy plants.
Oh, okay.
And even some evergreens. You know, maybe you've noticed your pine tree's a little bit thin this year because it has to get rid of some of that foliage. Because it can't support it all. It just can't get enough water and energy. It'll survive. It's been through this before. It's in its genes to, this is how it protects itself in a hot, dry period. So don't be too concerned about it. And you can see the effect in many of our lawns. I've noticed a lot of brown in my yard. I'm not too concerned. But now I'm starting to see even the soil crack open.
Yes, I have that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been a few years since I've seen this happen. It's not going to kill your lawn off. Your lawn is just going to sleep for a while. Your lawn is the opposite of most plants. It goes dormant in the heat. When your maple trees and so on, they go dormant in the cold. So your lawn is protecting itself by going dormant. So the needs of water and cool air are not there anymore. It'll come back. But there are other problems that occur also. A lot of weeds, crabgrass being one that bothers most people that have yards. That loves this kind of weather, and it's going to take hold and take over, and not to be too concerned there either, as long as we cut it before it develops seed for next year, or, you know, we can also treat it. There are a lot of sprays out there or dry products that we can treat that crabgrass with. The most common one is what we call a crabgrass preventer, which you apply in the spring when the soil temperature has reached 45 to 50 degrees. You apply it, and it causes the seeds to die off. It doesn't hurt your lawn, but it does affect the crabgrass. So those are some of the things, you know, that you're seeing in your yard and you can look forward to. You know, if you do nothing, like I'm going to do, you're still, your lawn is going to be fine. Chances are, come late fall, the grass is going to start to grow and it's going to try to choke out some of that crabgrass, going to shade the ground to make it hard for those seeds to germinate. So it's your choice. You know, if you want that perfect lawn, you know, do the treatments, make sure it's cut so it doesn't go to seed, or do like some of the rest of us, because it's, this has happened the 40 years I've owned the home. It's happened quite a few times, and just leave it alone and it'll be fine.
Now, I don't know. I'm going to show you a picture here.
Yeah.
Of mine.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's bad. I mean, my I don't know if mine's asleep or in a coma, or because it's just, I don't know if that's because of the dry, because that is cracked and stuff there.
Yeah.
Also, the dogs have a habit of going to the bathroom in that area. So I don't know if it's a combination of everything. I mean, I don't know how to bring that back.
I would assume that's a combination. And if you're really concerned about it, and this is, his is a bit extreme, it probably only has 10% of the area is green. The rest is all brown. So, yeah, I would wait till fall, and you could put down some grass seed at that time. It wouldn't hurt to throw a little soil over the top, do some raking, and then lots of watering, and you'll be able to recover that lawn. Now, as far as dog damage, you know, there's not a whole lot we can do. There are certain sprays out there and so on that will help counteract the acid that's in the dog urine, but it kind of affect your lawn over a long, or your soil really, over a long period of time. Doing it once in a while is not going to affect much. So
it's not killing the grass, it's tainting the soil.
Yes.
The urine.
Yeah. It taints the soil, and then the grass roots can't accept that, so they die off.
Okay. So that grass isn't sleeping.
No, that it's isn't gone probably. not from dogs and cats.
Oh,
no.
Right.
That's damage to the soil, which makes it almost impossible and sometimes impossible for the lawn to really grow in that area.
Well, thanks, girls. I appreciate that.
That's just one of the things that goes along with having a pet.
Yeah, it's all right.
And you just got to relax and accept it, you know. And
it's worth it. Hey, with all the cuddles they give you, I'll deal with some brown grass.
That's right. Yeah, no big deal.
What else is going on?
So I talked about, you know, the leaf drop. That's a common thing. Don't be too concerned about it. Don't run out there and chop your lilac down because you think it's dead. It just does not like this kind of weather that we've had, hot and dry. It's just protecting itself. So next year it'll be just fine, weather permitting. What else did I want to talk about?
You only have about 10 pages of notes there.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can find something.
Well, a lot of it's old stuff. Let me talk about a buddy of mine. I stopped by his house visit, and he's got zucchinis. And he said, of course, they're coming faster than they can eat them. So he gave me a bag full. Now, the best way to harvest a zucchini, in my opinion, is when they get about 12 inches long. Around that area, that's when they have the best flavor and texture, and it keeps the plant reproducing a lot. If you leave a zucchini on there to see if you can grow one as big as a baseball bat, well, all the energy is going to that one, and it makes it hard to produce more new ones. So harvest them, you know, when they get around a foot long in that area, and they'll keep producing heavily for you, and you can give them to people that visit you or your neighbors, or you can make lots of zucchini bread and all sorts of things with zucchinis. That was kind of a joy. I brought them home, showed my wife, and she immediately started cooking them. And boy, that was pretty good, that first zucchini of the year. So keep that in mind. You know, a lot of the vegetables are that way. The more you harvest them, the more they'll produce. So keep that in mind. What else do I want to talk about? Oh, the wasp and hornets. I think I did mention that before. This is the time of year where they really get defensive and active because they know that their winter's coming and they have to protect their home bases and build a new family at all costs. So that they can be very defensive to the point to where even if you get close, they could attack you. And they can be in the soffit of your house, along the side of your house, in a tree, in the ground. So be aware, or especially for those people that are pruning. I'm laughing because this happened to me, and it's happened to my wife.
Oof.
Yeah. Uh-oh. That you just run over to a shrub and start pruning, and pretty soon you're attacked by a bunch of bees and hornets, and it's kind of a disaster. So
that's not fun, is it?
No, it isn't. No. Luckily, she kind of laughs it off, you know.
Depends on how often you're stung, I guess.
Yeah,
how many times.
Yeah. But so a warning to gardeners and homeowners that if you're going to trim some shrubs or if you're working out in the yard, just keep your eye open. And if you see that movement of bees, you know, in a certain area, maybe stay away from it. Or wait for late evening or real early morning to do any work. I don't recommend running out there and spraying them to kill them. Wasps and hornets, yeah, go ahead. But bees, don't leave them alone. There are times that you can treat your plants without affecting them.
All right. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. So we actually have our phone lines open, I should mention.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
If anybody is listening that has a question about your situation, any part of your lawn, garden, trees, shrubs, and such, give us a call, 814-368-9372, or you can message us. We're live on Facebook, so facebook.com/WESB1075. Pop a comment on there. We'll see it and address your question that way, too.
Okay. Can we do a little show and tell?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We have the webcam set up. So
all right.
I see you were outside picking yeah. some of our plants.
Yeah. I know I had mentioned, oh, there's a spider.
And when we say plants, I mean some of our weeds that are growing yeah. out in the yard here.
To
at
some
the station.
People, they're weeds. To some, they're a flower. and I'm holding the goldenrod. I talked about that before, that this is not the cause of your allergy. Goldenrod has extremely heavy pollen, and so when the pollen is released, it goes directly to the ground or stays very low to the ground. So I just wanted to show it. It's a beautiful yellow color, attracts a lot of pollinators, can grow pretty tall, you know, can grow 3, 4, 5 foot tall, and bright yellow. Very, very important to the pollinators.
Yeah, we have a big field of it next to our parking lot over, you know, by the ecumenical home. Here,
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And it looks nice.
Yeah, it does look nice.
Unique to the time of year, you know. It's like,
yeah.
It's one of those changing seasons kind of thing that you get to enjoy some different scenery.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Yep.
But people do blame that for their allergies, but you're saying that's not the case.
No, that's not the case. And but there's many other flowers or just plain dust out there. And another one would be the ragweed. Now, that one will give us an allergy problem. But most of the time in a lot of area around here in Bradford, now that looks like the goldenrod, but its blooms are white. So the ragweed blooms very, very late. Most of the time, it is killed off by a frost before it can release all of its pollen. So that one, if you have allergy problem, you want to look out for, because who knows what's going to happen this year. You know, it just hasn't been a typical year. So it may have a chance to bloom and broadcast its pollen throughout the air and affect people. So be aware of that one.
All right. Thanks for the the guide there, because, you know, if you want to enjoy the look and you thought, well, this is the point, this is the reason why I'm sneezing and itching my eyes and everything. No, just enjoy the goldenrod.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. It's not the reason. It's the ragweed, probably.
Yeah, ragweed and a lot of other weeds, too, that have very light pollen and float around in the air. But the goldenrod has heavy pollen, and it drops to the ground quickly.
Well, you brought a couple of other plants here. I'd like to get to those, but let's thank our sponsor
first,
W. Smith, and we'll be back to tell you about what else Bob brought in.
Yeah,
that's in the potted variety of things, not just picked off of our field outside. So we'll be right back on the Gardening Show with B107.5 FM.
At Worth W. Smith Company, you'll find what you need when it comes to shovels, rakes, pruners, and all sorts of other gardening and landscaping tools. Why take the chance of getting splinters from old dried-up cracked handles, or the frustration of fighting with the rusty chipped cutting edges on your loppers? Their staff is always eager to lend a helping hand with getting you what you need for the project ahead. Stop and see them today at any of their 6 locations in Bradford, Olean, Salamanca, Cuba, and Eldred. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company.
Welcome back to the Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. And Mr. Master Gardener Bob Harris has moved a couple plants into the webcam field of view here. So go ahead and tell us what you bring in today. I see they look similar, but different colors.
Yes, and they are the same plant. They're coneflower or echinacea. And it's a late summer bloomer and will bloom a very, very long period of time. It's a real favorite of the pollinators. And then you can see these cone-shaped heads here. They're kind of hard and prickly. They won't break your skin. They produce a tremendous amount of seeds that are very, very beneficial to birds. A lot of the wrens and chickadees and so on can feed on them because those seeds are really high in energy. But the seeds they don't get, if the plant's been pollinated, will fall to the ground, become new plants in a couple years. So it's a great, great perennial. Comes in a lot of different colors, not just these two here. Real easy to grow. Doesn't really care about soil conditions too much. It's not something you got to go out there and water all the time. It's a perennial. It's tough. It's native to the prairies of America. So it grows without a long stretches of rain if it has to, but it will accept a lot of rain too. It's just extremely hardy, extremely forgiving perennial. So it's one that I highly recommend. Now these are kind of short. You know, there are varieties that can get about 3 foot tall. So keep that in mind. Read that plant tag when you purchase one, where you're going to place it in the garden. I don't worry about that old theory of putting the tall in the back and the short in the front. I like to change it up. It gives the garden a little more interest if you have some tall ones in the front even and short ones in the back. Sometimes that's a neat surprise if you walk up to the garden and you didn't know that this short echinacea or coneflower was there, and then all of a sudden you see it because it's hidden behind a tall phlox or something like that.
I guess that's the difference between if you want to have it viewed from, you know, the street for the curb appeal, or if you have a walk-through garden and like a trail or something like that.
Yeah, and
a walkway.
And a lot of us, the idea behind a good perennial garden is to draw people into that area. Now, if you're driving by in your car, of course you can't. But most of our backyard gardens, the idea is to draw people in, to make them go to that garden to inspect it a little closer. So it makes sense to have some hidden little gems there behind them tall perennials.
Now, is this the coneflower? Does this grow, multiply, and get wider?
Yes, yes. And it can multiply quite quickly. and nice. And that's a good thing about it is it does multiply and you'll get more and more. Sometimes it can even jump from one bed to another bed and all of a sudden pop up there, which to me is a benefit again. And if I don't like it there, well, it's easy to dig up. They have a very shallow root system, easy to dig up and transplant somewhere else.
I don't know what kind of show this is, but I don't know. I would jump in another bed.
So oh.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. And I got a few like that. I've got a pathway through a perennial garden that's about 3 foot wide, but some of the coneflower has jumped across that stone path and into the other bed. And all of a sudden surprised me by flowering over there. I'm glad I didn't pull it thinking it was a weed.
Yeah, you little rascal.
Yeah.
Get over in your own bed. So you said these come in different colors. We have a red and a yellow variety here, ketchup and mustard, if you will.
Yeah,
But what else do they call, like white and?
Yeah, white and pink, orange, burgundy, many, many colors.
But I like how you say the birds enjoy it, too. So if you're a bird person.
And the bees.
Birds and the bees.
Yep, birds and the bees. And it's important to support them. You know, they're helping you out in your yard.
Yeah.
A lot of the birds especially, which I think about other stories when I'm trying to explain one story. A lot of the birds eat a lot of insects, especially when they're nesting. To feed those young, it takes a lot of insects and caterpillars to feed them. And so the birds can be very, very helpful. Another one, what I've known for a long time, but I was reminded of, even crows, you know, can remind us. When the crows start squawking and squawking and squawking in a group, there's probably a predator nearby. Or something else they really don't like. And that, you know, that predator can be the fox or coyote.
Is that right?
Yeah. So they're warning us about, they're not really purposely warning us. What they're doing is trying to chase that predator away. So just keep that in mind if you're out in your yard with your pet and you got a bunch of crows squawking. There may be a hawk or eagle or a coyote nearby. So keep a close eye on your pet. Or if you're out there wandering around in the woods and you, again, hear all those crows squawking, there may be a predator out nearby. So just be aware. It's a good signal to learn and know.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I used to despise crows. But then, I heard that, and you just confirmed it, but the crows will alert because we have small dogs and chickens.
Yeah.
So the crows are a good thing because they actually chase the hawks away. And
yeah.
So we don't have to worry about so much anymore.
Yeah.
Having the small little dogs, we always wondered about if hawks would get them and can, or eagles.
Yeah.
My gosh, they're big. So,
yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. You know, we used to have a small dog and was always concerned about the hawks and
eagles. You don't realize how big those birds are until you get close to them. I mean, wow.
Especially when they're raising a bunch of young, you know, they need a lot of food.
Yeah.
They'll get it any way they can.
Yes, they can. So, hey, thanks a lot for bringing those coneflowers in.
Yeah.
Now, would you recommend to put these near, like, your vegetable garden to increase pollinization there?
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay.
I know a lot of people, and I've seen posts out there, you know, my cucumbers aren't producing, you know, and probably because they're not getting pollinated. And so putting some flowers, perennial or annual, in your vegetable garden or right next to it is a good idea to ensure you get pollination and ensure you have good production that way.
Okay, because I know you at the beginning of the season mentioned that the annuals are good for that. I was just wondering if this would be
perennials
well.
Also.
Okay,
yep.
Great.
Yep. As a matter of fact, I have a perennial bed right beside my vegetable garden, and I always encourage any bees to be there.
Oh, yeah. Come on in.
Yeah.
Make me some food. Grow me some. All right. We have a couple of minutes left in the show. So if you had any last minute questions for Bob, give us a call, 814-368-9372, or drop us a comment on our Facebook post.
Another thing that just came to my mind, because I was talking about lawns, when we have the heat like we have been getting and going to get, it's a real bad idea to treat any liquid sprays. They can all become what we call volatile. That liquid spray, Weed Be Gone or Roundup or any of those, can become volatile. And that liquid can turn into a gas as it hits the air, that hot air. And, of course, that gas can float around up to a quarter mile away. And then eventually it's going to hit a leaf surface. And most leaf surfaces are cooler than the air because they're full of water. And then that chemical can land there and start to damage that plant. So just be aware, you know, never spray any liquid sprays anytime it gets above 80 degrees. It's just can cause a lot of damage and cause that spray to float for a long period, a long distance.
Would you recommend maybe if it is warm, waiting till the night? Does that matter?
Yeah, you can wait till the night or do it early in the morning or wait for the day that it cools off.
How long do you think it needs to, you know, settle before it can become volatile?
An hour. Yeah.
I don't know.
Just an hour, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's a guess, mm-hmm. But that's what I'm going to say. It may be a lot shorter than that period. As soon as it lands on a leaf surface, it's going to stay on that leaf surface. It's when it's in the air going from your sprayer to that leaf that it can become volatile or gas form.
So what a good maybe rule of thumb, if there's dew on the grass already, that's a safe kind of time to?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yeah, because the dew on it can dilute it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
And so it may not be quite as effective. And so I said, you know, a lot of people say, well, when the heck can I spray that?
Yeah, what's the Goldilocks zone here?
Well, don't be in a rush for one thing. You know? but there'll be those times when we don't have a heavy dew in the morning or a heavy dew at night that you'll be able to spray those products.
All right. Anything, any last ideas or words today before we?
Yeah. Now, if you're using a granular product, a dry product, that's the opposite. If there's dew on the leaves, that's a good thing. You want to apply that early morning or late evening when the dew is there because the granular product will stick to the leaf better with a little liquid on that leaf. Now, if there isn't a dew, you know, you can go out there and water your lawn first, then apply. And don't rewater for a few days, and that'll help that product work a lot better.
All right. Excellent. Well, thank you so much again for spreading the knowledge and coming here.
You're
today.
Welcome.
And we'll be back next week, yes?
Yes.
Excellent. So it's The Gardening Show, brought to you by Worth W. Smith. It's live on Facebook, and it's on demand at WESB.com. You can hear previous episodes that way as well. And we will talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right. Have a great weekend. It's B107.5 FM.